Chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up, and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. Three times over in the passage, you get the word showed or manifested. Twice in verse 1, once in verse 14. It's the manifestation of Christ to his own in relation to service. Do you remember last night we talked to you for a little while on, As the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And now here we're going to be taught lessons in service. We're going to be taught how to fish. That is, if you're willing to learn. We're going to be taught that unless Christ is in control, the whole business is poverty stricken. This is the last of the signs, the miracles. The first was in Cana in Galilee. The last is in the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Tiberias is the Sea of Galilee. Interesting, isn't it? In chapter 2, it was the third day. In chapter 21, this is now the third time. In chapter 2, no wine. Chapter 21, no fish. There it was, fill the water pots with water. Here it is, cast the net on the right side of the ship. There it was, full to the brim with wine. Here it was, a net full of great fishes. There it was, six water pots of water. Here it is, 153. There it was, he manifested his glory. Here it was, he manifested his person. And now, he manifests himself at the Sea of Galilee. Verses 1 to 3, fruitless toil. Service without success. Verses 4 to 8, the director of service, Christ. Verses 9 to 14, the divine host, Christ. Let's come, please, shall we? Verses 1 to 3, fruitless toil. Service without success. You know a little about it. Come on, brethren. Let's face up to it. Do you know anything about this business of serving with no blessing? Now, this is what this is all about. It's all about fishing. Later on, we'll hear about following and shepherding and feeding and so on. But we're occupied tonight with
follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's Mark 1. In Luke 5, they're back in the business. I don't know the reason. It's never stated. There it was seemingly as if it was going to be permanent. Here, it's temporary. Now notice, please, the folks involved, will you? Verse 2. There are seven of them. Is that right? Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathaniel, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two others. Have you got it? Three leaders, well known. Two others, not so well known. Other two, unknown and unnamed. Brethren, isn't it remarkable that there are seven? As if to tell us now, here it is. As you look around the companies of the Lord's people, you'll get well-known men there. You'll get others who are known, but not so well-known. And the two unknown and unnamed will represent a vast company of the saints. And here they are. All together. And suddenly, Peter becomes restless. He finds relief in action. He says, I go fishing. He asserts his natural leadership. And the rest say, we go with you. And, verse 3, they went forth, entered into a ship immediately. Now we're coming to it. And that night, they caught nothing. Have you got it? I hope you waken up in the middle of the night listening and hearing these words. That night they caught nothing. Nothing, not a thing. Now just a minute. These were experienced fishermen. Not right. If you had said to Peter and James and John the night before, do you know anything about fishing? I'm telling you, they would have told you a few things. If you'd asked them in the morning, they wouldn't have been so sure. Isn't that so? Now watch. These men that are fishing are not amateurs. These are experienced men. They ran a successful business. They had employees, hired servants. These men knew how to fish. It was their trade. Secondly, they had all the gear. They had all the equipment that was necessary. They had all the know-how. They had the mechanics. They had the expertise. They had everything. All the organization set up to catch fish. Come again. These men were patient. They toiled all night. These men were hard-working and diligent, willing and eager. Immediately they're into the ship to fish. They've all the enthusiasm in the world. Have you got it? Experience, expertise, know-how, patient, hard-working, diligent, eager, enthusiastic. Is that all that we need? That night, they caught nothing. Have you got it? Come on, brethren. Oh, thank God for responsible men here, for I want to talk to you tonight with others. Tell me in God's name, when last was there a conversion in the hall? When last was the tank opened? Brethren, if it was a business, it would have failed years ago and the doors would be shut. Tell me, is your assembly growing? Is it growing by transfers? Or is it growing by conversions? Brethren, as assemblies will need to face this. They're going down and they're going out. They're closing down, we heard it. Makes you think, doesn't it? Oh, you young folks, listen. That night, they caught nothing. Now let's come, please, to verses 4 to 8. The director of service. And verse 4 says that there he is standing on the shore. And the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, verse 5. Lads, have ye any meat? Didn't he know that it was fruitless? Of course he did. He wanted them to tell him. He wanted the confession out of their own lips. He wanted them to say, no, we've failed, we've nothing. You know, yonder he is on the shore. And they answered them. Then he said this. Now verse 6 is all important. He said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And you know, brethren, not one of them said a word to him. The stranger takes over the business. He takes over the enterprise. And there's something about Christ that keeps them quiet. Majestic. Impressive. The stranger tells them what to do. And nobody argues. Nobody said, listen, you're 100 yards away on the shore. What do you know about it out here? Nobody said to Christ, listen, we're fishermen. We know how to do the business. We don't want your advice. You mind your own business. Brethren, that's what he was doing. Now, just take a look at him on the shore. Now, you know all the story, don't you? I haven't time to go into a lot of detail. But you look at Christ. Sovereign. Deity. Super fisherman. Controller. Administrator. executor, Lord of the harvest. Watch, he's starting to tell them where to fish. He's starting to tell them how to fish. Are you listening, brethren? Where will they fish? On the right side of the ship. He'll tell them how to fish. Cast the net once. He'll assure them of success. Ye shall find. Oh, it's wonderful, isn't it? And before they knew what they were doing, they had obeyed him. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. It's Luke 5 all over again. The same situation, the same circumstances, the same result. We toiled all night and caught nothing. Let down the nets for a draught. What is it? The nets broke. Have you got it? And he's trying to teach them this. Now please get this or you'll misunderstand me in a minute. I want you to get this home to you, that Christ is trying to teach them that unless he's directing and controlling, there'll be no fish. Now, brethren, listen. I want to speak to you preachers, for mark you this, there's a day of account coming for the preachers. Now, you make no mistake about this. Now, I want to talk to you elders and leaders. If Christ doesn't control, there's no fish. Is that right? Now, brethren, I'm raising big issues tonight in home territory. And I want you to face up to it. Now, let me go back. This man's talking about 50 years ago. The old men. Is that right? Do you know what they're telling us today? Oh, they're outdated. They're outdated. They can't preach like us. They can't pray like us. They're not so articulate. Their methods are outmoded. Brethren, listen to me. By the time that generation was finished, there was nearly an assembly in every village in Ayrshire. Now listen to me. And if they went two or three Sundays without conversions, they called prayer meetings. Come on. Maybe they couldn't pray like us. I don't know. Maybe they couldn't preach like us. God help them if they weren't any better. Maybe they weren't organized the way we're organized. But brethren, they got fish. And we're not getting them. I'll tell you more. When you go along 6 months and a year and 18 months after the campaign, where's the fish? Eh? You can't see them. They've gone. Cast the net on the right side of the ship. What happened? Now look, brethren. They cast, therefore, and they weren't able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. Now, right. Now, hold a minute. Hold. 15 minutes ago, there were no fish. Now the thing's full of big fish. Come on! Where did the fish come from? Now listen to me carefully now, please. Christ, in his sovereignty, drew the fish to the net. Come on! Christ, in his sovereignty, drew the fish to the net. Is that not in line with this gospel? Come on, brethren. No man could come to me except my Father draw him. All that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. Christ in his sovereignty drew the fish to the net. And they weren't able to contain it. There they were. Now, watch now, please. Now, I might be as well to clear my feet here. If I say something here that's not true, to experience, then please remember this, that I'm not a fisherman, either by line or by net. Okay? So that if I say what's wrong now, you give me a fool's pardon. To me, it seems that the fish was found in the most unlikely place near to the shore. Brethren, I want to tell you, at the most unlikely time, in the most unlikely places, the most unlikely people get converted. Isn't that right? Now, come on. Now, listen, if you don't agree with this, you preachers, come and see me after this. Is it not true that when you preach your best, there are seldom people converted? When you leave the meeting thinking that you've done wonderful, no conversions. On the whole. When you preach your favorite sermons, no results. Now listen, brethren, listen. I've preached in meetings, so have the rest, so please don't think this is self-exaltation. I've preached in meetings, and at the close of the gospel meeting, the folks have sat and didn't go out. Nobody gets saved. I don't know, but later on, brethren, that's to keep you humble, to make you recognize. Are you listening to me? It's not your eloquence, it's not your persuasive speech, it's not your brilliant preaching that does it, it's Christ that does it. I came to you not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration and power of the Spirit of God. Have you got it? Oh, may God write these lessons on our hearts today. Brethren, we're far too organized. It's time we agonized a bit more. It's time we looked to Christ to come in. And you know, they had a glorious problem in their hands. They couldn't cope with the fish. They couldn't drag the net in. Hey, isn't that tremendous? You mark this, won't you? If God answered a lot of your prayers, do you think you could cope with it? Now, come on. If God answered your prayers at the prayer meeting, and please don't you come to me because I've been stressing sovereignty. Because at your prayer meetings, you all pray like that, don't you? If God in Christ doesn't do it, there'll be nothing accomplished. And, watch now, watch. Supposing God answered your prayers and you got a crowd of new converts, could you handle them? For mind you, they bring a lot of joy, but they bring a lot of problems. Isn't that right? If we got to the folks we want to get to. Isn't that right? Not only the ordinary self-righteous people. If we could get to the alcoholics and the drug addicts and the hippies, the folks around the coffee bars, do you think you could handle them when they come in? They had it at Antioch. Are you listening to me? The first Gentile church, no big preachers, no big campaigns, no professionals. Oh, may God save us from professionalism. How did they get converted? Ordinary folks telling their testimony and preaching in the open air. And they had a church in their hands before they knew where they were. Who was the kind of man to handle the new converts? Barnabas. What's his qualifications? 3, a good man. Full of the Holy Ghost and full of faith. Could you do it? Have you got the qualifications? Come on, brethren. Oh, in God's name, listen, let us be real. Let's get down to this business. Have you known them to get converted? And the meetings were so middle class that they left us. That's right. No names, no pack drill. I can remember persons coming in. You know the kind that if they sit down, you're looking to see how far you can get away from them. Eh? Do you know what one brother said to me? He was a good man, mind you. Do you know what he said to me at the close of the meeting? He said, "Listen, Jack, we should leave these folks to the Salvation Army." Oh, in God's name, brethren. Eh? Oh, waken up, will you? Oh, the image we're creating. Now, please. Yes, that's right. well-cut suits, dresses, coats, cars. Oh, now, please, I'm not criticizing you, for I've got them. We can't help it, brethren. You're so good at your job in a world like this that you get promotion. The money goes up, and you're able... And there's nothing wrong with these things. But you take the man down the road, and he watches it all. He thinks this is far above him. Have you got any idea? There it was. Now, verse 7. John said, can you hear him catching his breath? It's the Lord! And it's no sooner out of his mouth than Peter's making for the shore. That's it, brethren. John's the man of discernment. Peter's the man of action. John's the man of contemplation and recognition. Peter's the man of action. Now, we need both. Now, right. We need both. We need the man of vision, the man of contemplation. We need the man of action. We need the man... We need the man that will bring the touch of God into the business. And we need the man of action that will do the work. Isn't that right? Do you remember John 13 we heard about? Peter nods to John, ask the Lord. And the Peters are all right, as long as they're directed by the Johns. Have you got it? If we could combine both in ourselves, it would be wonderful. You see, listen, John will discern long before Peter, but Peter will act long before John. We need the man of discernment, the man of spirituality. We need the man that knows God. Mark this. There are some servants that know God better than others. Don't you make any mistake about that lot. And there are some servants that have more power than others. Don't make any mistake about that. But together, they work perfectly. John and Peter. Isn't that right? Now, I'll need to come now, please. We'll need to come to the shore. What seven men couldn't do, Peter's doing when he saw it was Christ. The net never broke here. Nothing breaks in John's gospel. Come again. When he got to the shore, Christ, the coal fire, the bread, and the fish. It's the Lord! And when Peter got to the shore and saw the charcoal fire, the same as in the courtyard, oh, how memory would be active, eh? Remind him of the day he denied his Lord. That fire was kindled by his enemies. This fire's kindled by the Lord. Around that fire, the enemies of Christ hurled questions. Here the Lord will ask the questions. There he warmed himself with the enemies of Christ. Here he'll have fellowship with the Lord himself. He came to the shore. Christ waited on them. Oh, Christ is a waiter, eh? Christ is a servant. Haven't you got this idea you remember in Luke 12? Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself, make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Now, please. My time's gone. Just give me a few minutes, please, will you? I want to look at the shore as the end of the journey. Very soon we'll be in the presence of Christ. Now listen to me. Supposing when you get there, the Lord says, bring the fish you've caught. Supposing the Lord says to you at the judgment seat, where are the souls that you got saved? Bring the fish you've caught. How do you feel? I am thinking today of that beautiful land I shall reach when the sun goeth down.
Will there be any stars in my crown? Come on now. Ever led a soul to Christ? Bring of the fish that you've caught. How do you feel? Do you remember the doggerel? Some want to live within sound of church or chapel bell. They want to live near the meeting. Oh no, I'm not condemning that, please. Listen to me. Some want to live within sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. Very soon we'll be there. Bring the fish. Then he'll begin to review. And all, there it is. Tell me, please, in God's name, are you happy about your Christian life? Now be honest. Are you happy about it? Are you filling up your service? Are you doing what the Lord wants you to do? Have you got it? Mark this. When you get to the judgment seat, there'll be no rewards for being a successful businessman only. There'll be no rewards at the judgment seat for being a sales executive only. Not there's anything wrong with these things, not a thing. But to attain to that, and the devil's got you on your knees and he's choking the life out of you, then there's everything wrong. Brethren, listen to me. Sisters, listen. Lower your sights if need be. And do with 500 a year less and have more time to do something for Christ. For mind you, if Christ is coming, as we believe, 3 minutes after the rapture will be too late. Got it? Then you'll be looking at Christ, the shore. Listen to me. Have you ever thought about it? Stepping onto the shore and finding it to be heaven. Grasping a hand and finding it to be the hand of Christ. Breathing in fresh air and finding it to be celestial. Feeling invigorated and finding it to be the life that is eternal. Looking into a face and finding it to be the face of Christ. Brethren and sisters, when we see him, I am telling you, we'll know the truth of what we're singing. You say, what's that? Listen to me. I'm not going to sing it. Listen to me, I'll try it. By and by, when I look on his face, beautiful face, thorn-shadowed face, by and by, when I look on his face, I'll wish I had given him more. More, so much more. More of my life than I've given before. By and by, when I look on his face, oh God, I'll wish I had given him more. By and by, when I kneel at his feet, beautiful feet, nail-pierced feet, by and by, when I kneel at his feet, I'll wish I had given him more, more, so much more, more of my life
than ever before.
By and by, when I kneel at his feet, I'll wish I had given him